The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the fourth chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone scattered seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself. First the stalk, then the head, then the full grain within the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle because the harvest has come." Jesus also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, and what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when sown upon the ground, it grows up, and it becomes the greatest of all shrubs, putting forth large branches so that the birds of the air can come make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He would never speak to them except in parables, but he would explain everything in private to his disciples. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. And I'll invite the children to come up for a children's message as we see who is joining us virtually. If you guys want to come up, come on up. Have a seat here by the television. Wonderful to see you guys. So today, in our gospel lesson, we heard about people trying to find out more about the kingdom of God, right? So these people, sometimes, there's a little story I want to tell you. They want to find the kingdom of God. So what they do, there's an ocean nearby. So they get into their boat, and they sail. They sail the ocean. They're looking, they look everywhere. Where's the kingdom of God? And they don't quite find it. They get tired. So they decide to go home, take a little rest, and they end up back at their house. There's their house. They end up back at their house, and they're looking around in their house. Where's the kingdom of God? Have you seen the kingdom of God? I haven't seen the kingdom of God. Where could the kingdom of God be? Well, they couldn't find it there either. So they said, well, maybe the kingdom of God is up in the air. So maybe we'll try getting in a plane. So they get into a plane, and they fly all around in the air. They're looking. Do you see the kingdom of God? I don't see the kingdom of God. Do you see the kingdom of God? Where could the kingdom of God be? They're just not sure. They don't ever see it. So they think, well, maybe God is so up high, the kingdom of God must be in space. So they take a rocket ship. And the rocket ship blasts off, and they go into space, and they look. Where's the kingdom of God? Have you seen the kingdom of God? I haven't seen the kingdom of God. Can you see the kingdom of God? No, they don't see the kingdom of God up in space. So they come back, and they're like, where could this kingdom of God be? And they're like, you know what? Jesus always said the kingdom of God is wherever we spread the seeds of love. So really, no matter where they were, they always had the promise and the cross of Christ, always to know that the kingdom of God is always with them, no matter what, no matter where they are, no matter where you are. The kingdom of God is spread by the seeds of love that we share with one another. Now let's pray. Good and gracious God, we thank you for this time. You are awesome, and we love you. We thank you for allowing us to be the seed sowers, those who plant seeds of love by sharing in kindness and love and forgiveness. Help us to love as you love, and it's through your Son we pray. Amen. All right, guys, you can head back to your seats. Thanks for coming up. Grace, mercy, and peace from our Creator and our Lord Jesus Christ to you this morning. You know, ever since I was, probably about in the fifth grade, I could read some music. I loved to sing in all the elementary school choirs, and then when we got to the fifth grade, we were able to sample and try a lot of the musical instruments to see what we want to go and play maybe in middle school. Well, I selected the coolest of all instruments. Of course, that's the saxophone. Sorry, you or the brass players, but it's definitely a personal preference. But my challenge was always sight reading. I was horrible at it. Most of the challenge, I'm sure, was the lack of practice. Sorry, Mom and Dad, if you're watching. But the anxiety involved added to the challenge of sight reading. And I'm actually sure that there were some disconnects in my head with unfamiliar tunes and trying to figure them out, especially in a silent room, which was terrifying. It was looking at that unfamiliar music and rhythms on the page that made me so worried that I couldn't think. Therefore, my fingers would go crazy and counting became impossible. If I heard the music just once and was able to read the music along with it, that was fine. If I had a familiar tune, my prayers were answered. I had no problem at all. But I also learned when I received music that I had never seen before, I learned to breathe, to calm down, to take my time, to rely on my training, and then play the best that I could. When we hear something familiar or something that fits our liking, it becomes much more palatable. And the same thing happens with our theology. It's not until we hear something that clashes with our theology or way of thinking that we are forced to stretch or challenge our perceptions. My first thought, I was reading Mark's gospel for this morning, it was full of confusion. No anxiety-filled challenges, granted, even though there is that part in there about the sickle. But Jesus begins by saying, the kingdom of God is, and then he completes that statement, and then he says, with what can we compare the kingdom of God with, and what parable can we use for it? I'm not sure about you, but it's confusing to me why he would state what it was and then rehash what it was like. So I began to think, how would those listening to Jesus early in his ministry hear what Jesus is proclaiming about the kingdom of God? And it occurred to me that they were more familiar with the early prophets' interpretation of God's kingdom. They would count, or would they actually count on their own interpretation in this encounter with Jesus, relying on the familiarity of something that they heard before? Or would they challenge themselves? Would they be open their minds and souls to a new proclamation from a young rabbi? Of course, even Jesus knew the disciples would need more instruction, because he says at the end, we hear that he explains to them in private everything. So first, Jesus states, the kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise day and night. And the seed would sprout and grow, and he does not know how. The earth produces of itself first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain within the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle because the harvest has come. What Jesus states must have been familiar to the followers. In verse 29, but when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle because the harvest has come. Jesus is quoting from the prophet Joel. Joel's short book was all about the coming day of the Lord, when, after a horrible devastation of God's people, God would come back and restore the house of Israel, bless them with God's Holy Spirit, and reap a harvest of judgment on those who were not part of God's chosen, or those who stood against the house of Israel. Jesus is telling them, the day that God promised is coming, but it is not going to look like they imagined it would. God is simply vindicating. God is not simply vindicating Israel and condemning those on the outside with a thundering dark cloud and guilt. No, when judgment comes, it will look rather different, but it will come. Instead of coming with guilt and judgment, rather, it comes with a place of shade and relief. God's kingdom will be a place for all birds to make their nests. In the previous lines of that verse is the gentle description of the seed germinating within the soil in the same tone as the farmer. Jesus says the farmer lies down and rises day and night and day. But it still does not know how the seed grows. The seed is doing what the farmer is doing. It is sleeping in the soil and then rising. In the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 12, we hear the earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed of every kind, the trees of every kind bearing fruit with a seed in it. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the third day. And in chapter 8, we also hear, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. This stable order, which God promises, is orchestrated through creation, working in this manner, night and day, seed time and harvest, cycle of the day and the year mirroring one another. God's love, sometimes hidden from sight, takes time and nourishment, like that of the germinating seed. So what does this have to do with us? Well, we have all had times when we have rationalized or imagined something in a certain way, only to realize that it wasn't meant to be that way. Now, theology is not immune to this type of realization. I remember thinking, if I say my prayers and follow the Ten Commandments, God will find favor with me, life will be good, and much of this is true. God does find favor with us. But then comes loss of employment, or illness, or death of a loved one, and it's really tempting to ask God, what did we do wrong? Well, that type of theology, acting like God is a vending machine or Santa Claus, denies that God is with us through all of our times of trial and all the struggles of life. That type of theology hasn't germinated enough. It happens in the history of church. The history of church has shown us when it does what the church believes is correct in its own interpretation of God's word, it's not always doing the loving thing. I mean, the Crusades, the Spanish Inquisition, Manifest Destiny come to mind as examples where the church made tragically wrong decisions. Scripture can be interpreted to support slavery, hopefully not so much anymore, but there's still a struggle. Male chauvinism, unfortunately, many denominations do not believe or see the gifts that women can provide as pastors. And this incredible argument of marriage only being blessed and binding when it's with those who are straight, which is ongoing debate, and it should not be. Love is love is love. We are called to hear what Jesus is proclaiming. God's judgment will come, but it will not resemble what we think it might. In today's gospel, Jesus is reshaping the early followers' interpretation of how God will uphold God's people. It will not be through fire and brimstone, guilt and fear. Rather, God will work through small people, through a modest carpenter and small conversations with grace and love. It's time we slow down and not rely on our old favorites playing through our mind of doing right by what the world thinks, and you will be right according to what the world thinks. It's time that we begin to sight read God's scripture with the metronome of God's grace. Jesus says, with what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet, when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs, putting forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make their nests in it. First, I believe Jesus is referring to himself as the seed which is sown. I say this because the Greek word for grow up here, according to theologian N.T. Wright, is one of the regular words used for resurrection. As Jesus was placed in the tomb and then resurrected, the kingdom of God was shown through his rising. One single child of God, like a single mustard seed, was scattered on the earth and shared God's word of love and forgiveness. This image, however, did not match the coming judgment of God's kingdom, which the early followers had in mind. And therefore, Jesus challenged them to think differently, to change their familiar theology. When Jesus asked, with what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? He is echoing a familiar tune from the prophet Isaiah. In chapter 40, verse 18, with whom then will you compare God? To what image will you liken him? Jesus is giving them a fresh vision of God, the Creator, coming to rescue God's people. God cannot be perceived as incapable or powerless on the level of the pagan idols. No one should look at Jesus as an individual man and say, how can this one man possibly be the beginning of the kingdom of God here on earth? Though it didn't match up with their familiar tune of the kingdom of God, this new orchestration of God's kingdom is one in which all are made welcome. Jesus' masterpiece, his symphony, is God working through the smallest of things, sometimes hidden and almost forgotten, but working at the right time in the right place, sprouting up, springing forth, becoming great, strong, and mighty in love and righteousness for all people. Again, as N.T. Wright states, at the end, it will be a royal kingdom like those spoken of in Scripture. The other echo, the other note in the chord comes at the end of the story. The birds of the air will make their nests in its shade. Ezekiel and Daniel both use these as an image of a great kingdom growing like a tree until those around can shelter under it. Don't worry, Jesus is saying. Remember who your God is and what God promised. Realize that this small being is the start of God's intended kingdom, the kingdom that will eventually offer shade to the whole world. We can rely on our old favorites in our minds to be good, according to our personal theology. But the challenge is, God proclaims love. So let's learn when receiving something that we have never seen or heard before to breathe, to calm down, to take our time, rely on our training, and then love the best that we can. No matter if we are standing for the inclusion of all people who are on the margins, or if we are discussing with those who prefer the old favorite dominant narratives, our call is to be love. Spread the seeds of love and love one another. As we are able to go more places in the opening from our cloister of solitude from the pandemic, as we leave the sanctuaries of our homes and branch out into the familiar society, imagine everything new. Imagine every experience as a place to sow seeds of God's love. Paul's letter to the Corinthians reminds us to regard no one from a human point of view. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. The kingdom of God is like the seed of love planted in each one of us at our baptisms, or If you don't remember that time, maybe remember the first time that you realize there is more to this world than what our wants and needs, or even our wishes. You are beloved children of God. You are blessed with the Holy Spirit and made new. You are invited by the master gardener of creation to sow the seeds of love and life in the kingdom of God here and now. Amen.